Hi, this is Bill Denton, and this is message number 3 for sinners only. So far in this series of lessons, we've talked about the bad news of sin. It's bad because it separates us from God, makes us guilty of violating God's will, sets us up for eternal condemnation, and forces us to bear all sorts of other consequences. Sin is bad news, really bad news. But we've also talked about hope. There's hope because despite the fact that we're sinners, God loves us. And God Himself has come to our rescue. That's good news. There's an answer for sin. What we need to do is learn how to apply God's solution to our sin problem. But first, we need to know what God's answer is. What did God do and how did God provide a way for us sinners to be forgiven? You can't apply the answer until you know what the answer is. That's what we're going to talk about in this lesson. With a lot of things, there's the long answer and there's the short answer. I want to give you the short answer to sin first. Jesus. That's it. That's all you really need to know for the moment. Sure, there's a longer answer, and we'll get to it in a minute. But the short answer is important. Jesus is the answer to your sin problem and mine. Let me tell you why the short answer is so important. It immediately eliminates other alternatives. This is exactly the way Jesus Himself put it. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Now, it might seem to be a rather narrow claim. After all, what about the possibility that people are just on various roads all leading to God? Can't they just take their own chosen course? No. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." See that? There's no way to the Father but Jesus. Now let me tell you why this is so important. First, no other religion solves your sin problem. Other religions might set you up with all sorts of religious rituals, a philosophy of life that seeks to minimize the effects of sin, advice on improving life, or ways to discount the danger and permanent consequence of sin. But they don't solve the problem. Only Jesus does that. Second, that means that you don't solve your sin problem. The Bible uses an interesting phrase regarding sinners. It says that we're dead in our sins. Get that? Dead. What do dead people do? Nothing. Dead people cannot do a thing. Someone may protest once they understand the problem of sin. They might say, "Okay, from now on, I'll do everything right. No more sins." Well, even if that were possible, and they actually did live perfectly from that point on, it wouldn't remove the guilt of the sins already committed. No, you can't do one thing to fix the problem created by your sins. Third, it means nobody else has the answer either. They can't provide a solution for their own sins, much less yours. So that leaves out your parents, your friends, philosophers, teachers, not even your church has an answer for your sins. What I mean is that none of these people can in themselves help you. Jesus is the answer, period. The Bible is that specific, that direct. If you want to be forgiven of the sins for which you're guilty, you will need to know how Jesus provides the answer. Otherwise, there is no answer. But that's not bad news, that's good news. Why complain? If you had a deadly disease and your doctor said, "This pill is the only thing that will cure you," would you complain that there aren't 3 other pills that you could choose from? Of course not. It would be good news that there was a cure. And you would take that pill, wouldn't you? But there's a longer answer, and it's an amazing answer. In this brief study, I can only summarize it, but it will give you a bit more information than my short answer. When you read the New Testament, you'll discover that there are 5 things that form the basis of everything that God has done for us, all that we need to solve our sin problem, and all that we need to focus on as we live as saved people. First, God sent His Son into the world to become a human being. He took on a body of flesh. You've probably heard the story of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, the little baby born to the Virgin Mother, announced by angels who sang praises to God, worshiped by shepherds, and given gifts by wise men. This is huge. This is God in the flesh. God became one of us. The holy, righteous, perfect God entered this sin-stained world to live life like you and I live it. This alone is stunning. But second, this Son of God, Jesus, died on a cross as a sacrifice for sin. The rest of us die as a consequence of sin, but Jesus had no sin. He lived a perfect, sinless life. We deserve any of the consequences of sin, including death, but not Jesus. His death was a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. He offered his blood as the basis of forgiveness. You deserve all the consequences, but in his death, Jesus took upon himself the ultimate suffering. He died for you. He made a sacrifice for you. You can be forgiven because Jesus died. Third, Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection is the linchpin of the Christian faith. The resurrection proves all the claims that Jesus made and proves that his death is exactly what we're saying it is. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, Paul wrote that Jesus was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. It also proves that death is not the final enemy it appears to be, but God will give you eternal life if you're saved. Fourth, Jesus ascended back to the Father in heaven. Two powerful things associated with his ascension. One is that he now rules and reigns on the throne of God. He is not only our Savior, he's our Lord. The other is that he is now our great high priest. He continues to serve us, giving us strength, providing ongoing forgiveness, and making it possible to be God's people in this world. Fifth, Jesus is coming back. Nobody knows exactly when that'll be. We do know that there will be a day of judgment somewhere, sometime in the future. God will finally call his rebellious creation to judgment. Sinners who have not applied the answer for sin will be forever lost. The saved will enjoy an eternal home in heaven. Now, each of these five things, it is God who is at work. Be thankful and understand that it's been done so that you can be saved. Now listen to some passages from the New Testament in which these truths are presented. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. In John chapter 1, verse 1, and then again in verse 14, John wrote this, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote, For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 18, You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The Hebrew writer wrote in chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, the first six verses, Jesus has this conversation with Thomas. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There are many more passages we could read. Every one of them gives us a bit more information. The good news is that God has made it possible for you to be saved, and He did it all through His Son, Jesus. But you're going to have to focus with me for a moment, for you see, it's very easy to miss the implication of all this that God has done. I want you to see that it was all done for you. Jesus came into the world for you. He died on a cross for you. He rose from the dead for you. He ascended back to heaven to take care of you. He's coming back for you. Well, at least that's what He would like for it to all mean. Jesus is the answer for your sin problem. I sure do want you to believe that, for it's true. I want you to know and to feel in your heart the love that God has for you. Yes, sin is bad and it will destroy you, but Jesus solved the problem. The only thing left is to know how to apply the answer. You know what Jesus has done. Now get ready to learn how the answer works. Are you ready? Then on to the next message.